A very good evening and welcome to Backstage here on ZFM Stereo. Big thank you to Danny as well as the sports team for taking care of you. My name is Patience Musa. Join me every Tuesday evening from 7:30 through to 8 o'clock as we talk art. Joining me this evening is is Gideon Wabvuta, the program director for Almasi Collaborative Arts. Gideon, welcome to ZFM Stereo and Backstage.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you've probably been reading about it. If you are a theater geek, then you probably know that we have three major plays that are being shown in Harare. And these are all by Almasi Arts at Jensen Pimpo Theater. And so we're going to be talking more about this. And a lot of you probably noticed that Danai Gurira was also in the country. And this has something to do with that as well. So, Gideon, we're going to kick off with getting to know Almasi Arts. Can you tell us a bit about the mission and vision of Almasi Collaborative Arts and how it seeks to impact the arts scene locally?
Yeah, definitely. Almasi Collaborative Arts is a brainchild of Danai Gurira. She's one of the co-founders, and it was founded over 13 years ago, and the mission was arts education within Zimbabwe, because I think when Danai was coming to Zimbabwe, she was noticing some of the education gaps that we have within our arts sector. And in noticing those things, she decided to create Almasi Collaborative Arts, where the primary focus of Almasi for the past 13 years has been arts education. So training writers, training directors, training sound designers, lighting designers, all in a bid to fully professionalize our dramatic arts industry, making sure that the people that are functioning within this industry have the necessary skills. So that has been what we like to call our phase one, where we're saying learning never ends, where we are getting people are being funded to go to the US to go and study. We're bringing Americans into Zimbabwe to come and train Zimbabwean creators. We had Emily Mann, who is a Tony Award-winning director. We have we had Clint Ramos, who's a Tony Award-winning designer. All these people have come in to just feed into the skills of what Zimbabweans have. So over the past 18 years, that has been the goal. But now we are moving into what is our second phase, which is taking the African story to the global stage, where we are now saying, all this learning we've been doing, we are now going to the second phase of our learning, which is putting it into applications, where the three plays now come in and the Africa Voices Now Festival.
Now, as the programs director for Almasi Arts, what inspired you to take on this leadership role within the organization?
Yeah, I'm one of those people that they like to call within the theater industry, I'm an Almasi baby, in the sense that when I was a university student at the University of Zimbabwe, I started working with Almasi. So I worked with Almasi as an actor. I worked with Almasi as a director. I worked with Almasi as a playwright. So in all that work, I found myself within the Almasi system, because the idea also behind Almasi is sometimes you know you're a creative, but you're not sure what it is that you're good at. So we will try as much as possible to put you through everything so that you can be able to figure out what it is that you like. So I was put all through all of this. And then I fell in love with playwriting more than everything else. So in 2016, 2017, Almasi gave me the Walter Mparitsa Fellowship, and I went to the US and I studied for my master's in dramatic writing. And in doing that, I constantly had this vision that, hey, there's so much more we could do for our creatives. And when I came back home, this sort of was like a natural fit for me, just in terms of what I could be able to bring, my skill set, just in terms of what I've been able to see out there and how the kind of training that we need. So my focus, my primary focus, is to look within the industry and say, hey, what is the skill that we need currently? And how can we be able to address this? And my job is to make sure that all these creatives are happy and they're getting the skills that they need to thrive in their crafts.
Now, as Almasi Collaborative Arts, are there other kinds of programs or initiatives that you support outside theatre productions?
Yes. I mean, everything has been geared towards theater over the past few years, but we have started sort of like also branching out a little bit. Last year, we had our first TV writing workshop, and this is definitely a direct response to what we're seeing within the industry, because we've seen all these new TV stations that have come in. We have a lot of new writers that, because of the need for content, so there's a lot of new writers are coming up.
And a lot of social media platforms.
Yes.
You don't have to wait for radio. For,
definitely.
You know.
Yeah. A lot of web series, yeah. TikTok, all that. So that was a response to us where we said, okay, great. This is something that we're seeing within the industry. How can we be able to address that? And we brought in Matt Negretti last year, who trained some TV writers. And then coming up in November, we have an Oscar award-winning documentarian, Ezra Edelman, that will be coming in to also train some documentary filmmakers just on the process of making documentaries. So we are, as we are going on, constantly shifting. I like to say we're an organization that is constantly looking at what's going on within the industry and seeing how we can be able to respond. What does the industry need right now? So I'm very sure as we proceed over the next few years, we will be branching out definitely more into TV, more into film, but obviously the basis being the training that we offer.
Now, this season, currently, actually, three mm-hmm. plays were launched at the Jason Pepo Theatre. Can you share some insights into how these plays were selected? Maybe where all of this originated?
Yeah. So we have our annual program called Almasi African Playwrights Conference. This is a developmental conference for plays where we put out a call usually early in the year around March, February, March. We put out a call where we say, if you have a play that you think would benefit from, you know, 12 days of intense work where we bring in directors and writers and dramaturgs to feed in your work, submit that play. So from that, we pick the five plays that we think are the readiest in terms of being able to be developed. And over a period of 12 days, they get into a room. It's a painful process. It's a very intense process because most of the time, the playwrights have been in their houses writing on their own. And suddenly they're exposed to a room where you've got a bunch of professional actors.
And they're saying no to this.
Yes.
To that.
Yes. They're asking questions. Sometimes you don't even have answers to. So we make sure that we try as much as possible to take care of the writers, make sure that we are there for them, we are supporting them. So from that Playwrights Conference, at the end of the Playwrights Conference, we have readings and we invite the public to come and watch. And you kind of also gauge the how much the audience is responding to the plays. So over the years, there had been that question that, so what happens after the Playwrights Conference? These plays have been read, people have come and they've listened to them. What is the next step? And over the past years, we did not exactly have a response because our focus was just, let's develop the plays. We'll figure out what's next. So this year, 2024, when we had the Playwrights Conference, going into 2025, there was a concerted effort to say, okay, what do we do next? So out of the five playwrights that we had, we took them, we put them in a writer's retreat in some fancy house to just write for the next 2 weeks without any disturbances. We gave them everything they need, writers and snacks, make sure that they were well fed, well taken care of, no disturbances. Sometimes you just want to take away the excuse that, oh, I didn't have time, I had to do this, I didn't have time. So we gave them all that precious time, all these five writers, to come in and do the work. So they came in, they did their work, And then from that, we picked three plays that we thought, okay, these three plays are ready to still be further developed into full productions, which was Rudom Tangadura's The Return, Tatenda Mchikambizi's These Humans Are Sick, and Can We Talk by Batsira Ichigama. So from those, from that writer's retreat, they went into, we brought in Lynn Nottage, who is a two-time Pulitzer Award-winning playwright, to come and take them through further development over a period of 12 days. And those three plays then became have now moved into full production. So it's been about 9 months of them working on this place.
It sounds excruciating.
It is.
But necessary.
Yes.
Now, what themes or messages do these plays explore, and why are they relevant to audiences today, if they are?
Oh, they are. They really are. I think just to talk about the plays individually, These Humans Are Sick, like the title says.
I love the title.
It is.
It just got me.
It is a brilliant title. It's a farce. It's a play where when you watch it, you walk away from it and you say, yeah, we are sick indeed. It's a play that deals with morality and deals mostly with this idea of desire, how much we can want something so much at the expense of ourselves and hurting the people that are around us because of how much we want. So when you watch the play, you, whether you like it or not, you're bound to recognize a tiny little bit of yourself in that play. And then Rudom Tangadura's The Return is such a topical play because it deals with two sisters, one who lives in the diaspora and one who lives in Zimbabwe.
Very, very relevant.
Very, very relevant. And the clashes that exist between those two, where we all know what this feels like. You have a relative in the diaspora. They have a particular way of thinking. You have a relative who's in Zimbabwe. They have a particular way of thinking. And when there's two things clash, it makes some really beautiful drama. So it's such a topical play. And then Can We Talk by Batsira Ichigama, who is a renowned poet. She came to us with a collection.
I was surprised because I had her on this show a few weeks ago and she was telling me about writing a play. I'm like,
yes.
Wow, you go, girl.
Yeah, she did such an amazing job. I think last year I was talking with some of my colleagues and I was like, there's a writer's conference I had gone to some years ago and I saw some poets there and I was like, it would be fun if we got a poet to come in and write a play. And Batsirai came in and she had a collection of poetry, and we said we could turn that into a play. So with my colleagues, we worked with her, got her, and she's written a very, very beautiful play that is about three sisters who are trying to bury their older sister who has just passed away. It's a play that deals with trauma. It's a play that deals with sisterhood. It deals with a lot of really topical things. And it's such a tearjerker when there was no dry eye in the audience when that play is done. It is one of the most beautiful plays I've ever experienced.
Now, how does Nanai Gurira get involved? Yeah. Is it a day-to-day involvement? What's the relationship there with this entire project, as well as Amasi Arts collaboration as a whole?
Yeah, Danai is very involved, very on a day-to-day basis, which is why I think at the beginning when we opened the festival, she had been in the country for a bit, working with everybody. I was telling a friend recently that, hey, we're talking about somebody who we were having tech days, which are 12 hours long, and so you're coming in the morning and going home. I mean, they're more than 12 hours because you're coming in at 10 in the morning and leaving at like 1 in the morning, and she's there working with us all those 12, 14, 15 hours. So she is intricately involved and mostly because she cares. She cares about the work. She cares about the impact the work is supposed to have. And she cares about the arts industry to the point that she wants to be present to be able to see the work being done on the ground. So she carries the vision. We were all brought on because she had this vision to be able to fully professionalize this industry. And part and parcel of that is being present for that.
Mm. And can you share any behind-the-scenes stories from rehearsals or production that may just surprise us?
What can I say? What can I say? Yeah, I mean, I think the thing I can say is it's a lot of work. So you do have situations where writers sometimes don't even like their own work. Mm-hmm. We've had writers in tears. We've had directors
in
tears. It is such an emotional process.
And I think with artists, when you create something, it becomes your baby.
Yes.
And to watch its fingers removed. And it's...
it's a painful process. And because... the writers are putting themselves in this work. Mm-hmm. And when you come in and you start cutting it up, it feels like you're literally hurting them. And so there's been a lot of tears. There's been a lot of like, please don't talk to me right now. I am exhausted. I don't want to deal with this right now. But we fully understand that it's all part of the process.
And what do you hope audiences will take away from these plays?
I do hope that they... get the realization that there is a lot of really talented people out there, that there is a lot of good work that is being done out there, but also that the support of the audience matters the most. Theater is not theater until we bring in an audience.
True.
Right? And if we are able to get as many people to the theater as possible, I hope they walk away knowing and understanding that we are not that far from all this like very established industry. All we need is the education and to be able to follow the process.
Are there plans to tour these productions beyond the Jason Pempo Theatre?
Yes, definitely. One of the things we have is we have a partnership with the Public Theatre in New York. And if everything goes according to plan, one of these three plays will possibly be traveling to New York and will be staged in New York. We're not exactly sure yet what that's all going to look like. But this is a partnership. So even as we're developing, working with these writers over the past 5 months, the writers retreat we had was also funded by the Public Theatre. When we had the Playwrights Conference, the head of the Public Theatre was here. So there's a lot of like really good connection between us. And definitely the hope is we want a lot more people to see this work. So if we can be able to tour it around the country, that would be great, into the region. All those are things that we are exploring. But one of the primary things is we are new in this particular phase because we've been doing a lot of training. So like I said earlier on, we will be figuring out and looking at what's in the industry and reacting to that. So if it means taking these productions out on tour, that is the hope. We definitely want to do that.
If you're just tuning in, we are My Station, Your Station, ZFM Stereo. And it is indeed a very good evening because you have made the right choice tuning in just in time for Backstage with me, Patience Musa. And in the studio with me, we are talking theatre. I have with me the program's director for Almasi Arts, Gideon Wabuta, as we explore the three plays that are currently showing at Jason Mpepo Theatre. I think... we have a lot of hardworking artists in this country, so passionate, creating such beautiful art, but it isn't being celebrated and recognized enough. So what do you think it's going to take to get audiences to start supporting theater, start supporting arts,
yeah,
to make it a culture, to teach our children?
Yeah.
Because art is important. It's who we are. It's where we're coming from. And it's also where we're going.
Yeah.
What is it going to take?
I think it's just like everything, including sports, it's a grassroots thing where if we don't look at theater as... you only go to the theater because you want to be an actor, or you only go to the theater because you want to be a writer. But all the... theater education that happens when someone is in primary school, is in high school, even if they divert later on and they go be a doctor or be something else. But because they've had appreciation for theater, that is the thing that brings them back to the theater. So my biggest advice is always, parents, bring your kids to watch plays. Because when you do that, you're building our audience for the future. You're building people that will want to come to the theater. But also at the same time, I think we do need to talk more about theater. I do think we... I don't think the population sometimes fully knows the kind of theater that it is that we do in Zimbabwe. So I always say to people, just try it once, and I guarantee you, you will be a loyal fan forever, just like I became when I watched my first play and changed everything. And I was like, this is what I want to do. So I always say, bring your kids, bring your friends, bring that person who's never watched a single play ever in their life.
So as a programs director, what do you do? What is your job?
Yeah.
What are you doing at Almasi Collaborative Arts?
Well, my job, honestly, is I interface a lot with the creatives, right? With the actors, with the directors, stage managers, everybody. And my job is to hear them, listen to them, and see where the gaps are.
Okay.
So, like, for example, that question, which was like, after the Playwrights Conference, what happens? Okay, we don't know what happens. Okay, let's talk to the creatives. Let's find out what would be interesting. What do they want? And then my job then is to say, all right, with the skills that we have and the resources that we have, what can we be able to put together? And me and my colleagues, Zaza and Bob, we all sit down. And this is where this festival came up, where we say, okay, let's sit down. Let's put together something. What are we able to do? Oh, it would be great to do productions. Okay, what's the path to that? And then we design the process. We go in, we pitch what it is that we want to do. And we're fortunate in that we are led by someone who is open to things, who wants to do the work. So when we came in with the idea of doing this festival, it was, you know, received very, very well. And even when you talk to the creatives, you talk to the actors right now, it is a direct response to what it is that they've been wanting for a while.
And how do you approach collaboration between directors, actors, playwrights to ensure there's a cohesive vision on stage?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about how artists are creating things and then they're emotional about it. What more when somebody is trying to, you know, portray the work that they've put together? How do you manage all of that?
Yeah, it's a very difficult relationship, especially in the way that we work, right? So Almasi, we are playwright-centered. And when I say we're playwright-centered, I mean, yes, the director comes in, everyone comes in, but we recognize the authority of the playwright and say, you started off with this vision. You are the one that is making the decisions that are on the page. So we listen a lot to the playwright...
So they're the director.
They're not the director. But they have to approve certain things. If they don't like something, any major changes, there's no line or a word that is changed in the script without their permission. They have every right to sit in rehearsal, and if an actor keeps changing the lines or whatnot, they step up and talk to the director and say, make sure that they say every word because this is how I wrote it. So we respect the playwright. So it is not an easy relationship, largely because there is the British system where the director is like right at the top and the director is all of it and makes all the decisions, which is fine. But we want to respect the person who came up with the spark and say, this is the story that I want to tell. So it's been a process of working with the directors, making them understand that it's a collaboration. Talk to each other, the director and the writer. Find out if you're on the same page. If you're not, navigate your way to make sure that you're on the same page. Like I was saying earlier on, yes, there's been tears, there's been screams, there's been I am tired, there's been all that. But all of it is in a bid. We all understand that all of it is in a bid to make sure that we have the best production. And we always say, like, collaboration is not cooperation. Sometimes you have to disagree.
I like the way that sounds. Now, in terms of creativity, what challenges are you facing, especially now, producing multiple plays simultaneously?
Yeah, it's not just even creatively, even like logistically, trying to put together like three different rehearsal spaces and finding three different rehearsal spaces at the same time was a nightmare. It was a complete nightmare.
The crew, the cast.
We
artists.
We literally ran out of actors.
No way.
I am telling you, we ran out of actors. When I tell this to people, they're like, you are ridiculous. That doesn't make sense. Mm. I'm saying we ran out of actors. So all our plays, when we rehearse, we all make sure that they have understudies. We ended up not having understudies just because we could not find actors in Harare.
Who
have been, I mean, with theater, you also don't want to take somebody who almost has never been on stage,
okay,
because it can be quite a scary process. So we could not find any, we struggled to find any actors in Harare that could come in and do the work, who were good enough and had enough experience to be able to do the work, just because we have three plays where we have hired over 30, 30 actors that are coming in to do the work. So that was obviously a challenge in itself, just trying to put everything together, trying to bring all the artists together, which obviously has exposed another, aspect, which is like we need to go back and train younger actors. We need to go back and try and bring in as many new actors as we can.
And so what do you hope audiences will take away from these plays?
I hope that they will... they'll see themselves. I really do hope that they will see themselves. They will recognize the stories that are on stage, but also at the same time, they will recognize how important this is. One of the toughest things is sometimes for people not to understand how the importance of theater, that it's for us, it goes beyond just mere entertainment. It's our stories as Africans. It's who we are. It's why some of these countries in the world have been able to push their narratives. It's because they've been able to tell their stories about themselves. And I think it's such a noble thing when three writers come together, when three writers come in and tell the stories of who they are, where they come from, stories that will resonate anywhere in the world because they are about the human condition.
And how can young Zimbabweans or aspiring playwrights, artists get involved with Almasi Collaborative Arts?
So we if one follows us on social media, Almasi Collaborative Arts, on all social media platforms, we constantly are putting out calls. So we're putting out calls for, early on, obviously, was for the Playwrights Conference, which is now closed. We're putting out calls for the documentary filmmaking workshop. Next year, we'll be putting out calls for writers, stage managers, different people. So if you follow us on social media, there's always opportunities. Like, I know a lot of actors, like, how do we get involved? So one of the ways that we do it is we have our stage reading series that we do every year, and we hold auditions. And those auditions, one of their primary jobs is for us to be able to see new people. So sometimes one doesn't get cast in that, but because you are now within our database, we now know, oh, there's an aspiring actor there. Whenever we now have a training program, we know we're just going to go back to our database and get those people. So there are multiple ways, if you just constantly follow us, for you to be able to find yourself within the organization.
And looking ahead, what can audiences expect from Almasi Collaborative Arts in the coming, we're already end of year,
yeah.
So maybe next year?
Yeah, I mean, this year in November, we have the documentary filmmaking workshop with Ezra Edelman. And then in December, we have the Almasi African Playwrights Conference.
So still a lot in store.
There's still a lot in store. We're still going to be working. There's still going to be doing the job. And it's fun. It's exhausting, but it's a lot of fun. Next year, there will be a lot more work that will be done. We will have trainings for writers, directors, stage managers. It will be a packed year, just like this year was packed. But that is the goal, to make sure that we keep doing this. And this festival, the Africa Voices Now Festival, will be happening again next year, because it is now going to be an annual festival where we take place from the Playwrights Conference and we develop them for over 9 months, and then they go up and people get to enjoy them.
Well, it has been lovely learning about Almasi Collaborative Arts. And, you know, that's how we wrap up tonight's Backstage, a celebration of creativity, collaboration, and enduring power of storytelling. Thank you very much, Gideon, for coming through, representing Almasi Collaborative Arts. And thank you for sharing the vision. And, you know, to Danai Gurira for continuing to champion the arts and elevate Zimbabwean theatre on the world stage. And if you haven't yet made your way to Jason Pepo Theatre for any of these plays, please make a date. When, where, what time?
So it's at Jason Pepo Little Theatre, and we are running to the 7th of November. Plays open at 6 p.m. They are $5. They are also, I think if you check our Facebook page, all social media, there are even nights which we call Pay What You Can Nights, where you can just come in and pay whatever it is that you want to pay. If you want to pay 10 zig, that's you. That's perfectly fine. So all those are opportunities for people to come in and watch the plays.
Great. I love that. I think, you know, it just goes to show that you and I have absolutely no excuse not to be watching even at least one of the plays.
Yes.
We've got absolutely no excuse. We are still in October. The 7th is still more than 7 days away. Yes. We can certainly make a flat plan. And this could actually be a family, you know, plan for, for an evening.
Yes.
And, you know, an evening of fun and theater together as a family or as a friends. Until next time, thank you, Gideon.
Thank you.
Keep supporting local art, keep telling our stories, and keep that creative spirit alive. Thank you so much for tuning in to Backstage. Tune in next week, same time, right here on ZFM Stereo. My name is Patience Musa. This is your evening, this is your week, your month. So you go ahead and you claim it, take it, own it, and rock it. Good night.
Summer's here.
Come on.
Turning up the heat this summer with more music from the 90s.